work because he has gone on ahead of us. Now let me back up. Let me take you back. What did you find at the mercy seat when Aaron the high priest went there? On the high holy day, Aaron had to go into the tabernacle with blood. With the blood of an innocent lamb. With the pure blood of an innocent animal without spot or blemish. Only Aaron could go in. As he went in with this basin of blood, he symbolically sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat where God's Shekinah glory was hovering. If Aaron went in the tabernacle inside of the Holy of Holies and did not take blood, he would immediately be stricken dead. Dead. Now, as the parallel between that, too many of us have reached for the substance and only grabbed the shadow and think that, listen to me very close, I've come, John, to mercy's seat. I have made a verbal profession for Jesus Christ. I am not living for him. I am not doing exactly what he told me to do. But through the church, I found mercy. Well, just as the high priest would have been stricken dead, you are stricken dead spiritually. You are separated from God. That's just like going into the holies of holies, going there with blood and sprinkling it doesn't mean anything. Because the blood was not the blood of Christ. If you have truly been to Christ's mercy seat, and if he has finished the work and sat down, you are the fulfillment of the finished work. You are to be walking in that finished work. All right. So what do we find at mercy's seat? Secondly, we find Jesus appeasing man's sin. I find Jesus appeasing for my sin. When the high priest went into the mercy seat with that blood to sprinkle it, he was appeasing for the sins of the whole nation, Israel. Jesus is our mercy seat. He has appeased for my sin. That's why I partake of that table on the first Sunday of the month. I'm telling you that the mercy seat represented Jesus as the true throne of grace. When you see the Ark of the Covenant, the angels, his Shekinah glory, that Shekinah glory was Jesus. Now you say, John, how do you prove that? All right, I'll tell you. All right. Moses comes down from Mount Sinai. He gives them this. They make the tabernacle, and the tabernacle was a portable tent that they could take down and move. You know what the Shekinah glory would do? The Shekinah glory would move from between the cherubims, go out to the front of the tent, and go up above the tent and start moving. The children of Israel immediately had to pack up and follow during the daytime that cloud. Yes. Everywhere that cloud went, they had to go. Yes. That was symbolically them following Christ. Amen. Wherever Christ leads, you follow. Amen. When that cloud stopped, it would come down, they would set up, it would stop, they'd set the tent up quick, the priests would be there ministering, the Shekinah glory would come down, set right in between the cherubims, the high priest would go in there, Moses would go in and God would commune with them, Moses would come out and say, you guys have done this, you guys have done that, you better watch it, or God is going to take care of you. Amen. See? So what happened at night, John? What happened at night? That Shekinah glory, which was a cloud during the day, became a flame at night. You read in Exodus. You read it. It is a beautiful book. You will find Moses standing at the front of the gate of the tent, not being able to go in because God's glory filled it. And when they had done this, God's glory had filled the tabernacle and smoke was all in there. And I'm telling you, Moses went in and Aaron went in and the people just gathered outside and praised God for his glory. That same glory that spoke to Moses on Sinai was in that tent. I'm here to tell you, church, that glory was Jesus. That same Jesus that spoke to Moses at the burning bush. That same Shekinah glory. Now what happens? I'm telling you that you can find that Shekinah glory in Christ Jesus, and he will come and make his residence in you, and he will fill you with his love and his power and give you the power to live a godly life. And when somebody asks you, why are you that way? You can tell them, because I have been to mercy's seat. That's why. Because I have experienced God's Shekinah glory. Amen. Listen, if you have indeed experienced his Shekinah glory, Jesus has appeased for your sins. If you have really experienced God's mercy seat, you don't have to worry about the guilt of sin because he has taken care of that on Calvary. But church, you have one obligation: to live it. Since God is living in you, you are obligated to live this. Amen. Not just talk this stuff. Mm-mm. You've got to live it every day of your life. Amen. You've got to live it when your family comes up against you, when your friends come up against you. You have got to let the glory of Christ shine through you. You have got to learn how to say no. I'm telling you that Jesus Amen. Is the throne of grace. Jesus appeasing for man's sins. That's mercy. Now, where do we find that, Pastor? Turn to Romans 3:25. That's where you're going to find it. That's where you're going to find Jesus appeasing for our sins. He, in essence, takes away the punishment and gives us glory. Romans 3:25. Whom God, Paul speaking of Christ, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation, a reconciler, a satisfier, an appeaser. That's all propitiation means. Through faith in whose blood? His blood. Let's go back. The high priest had to sprinkle blood on the mercy seat.
Yes.
Now God has appeased our sins through Christ's blood.
Amen.
You see what it says right here? He's become the propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the removal of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. I'm saying that Jesus Christ has appeased my sin through shedding his blood. He has, you know what the Bible tells me? That when Christ died on Calvary in a very symbolic way, that he entered into the Holy of Holies in heaven with his own blood.
Yes.
Isn't that beautiful? That my Savior went before the mighty throne of God with his own blood and said, Father God, I've done it, the blood of an innocent lamb, because John said in the book of John, he says, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He has appeased our sins by shedding his own blood. I'm telling you that Christ is the payer for mercy seat. Christ is the payment for the mercy seat. Christ is the down payment for the mercy seat, and he's the final payment. Christ has done it all.
Amen.
What does that show us? You have nothing. You can't do anything. For those of you that have been struggling with, well, what do I have to do to be justified? Nothing. Just say yes to Jesus. That's all you have to do. Youngster, let me talk to you. Let me talk with you a little bit. I found this to be true. You know, Brother Alvin and I were speaking, and we said, boy, wouldn't it have been great to really accept the Lord as a teenager? Wouldn't it be a great thing to come to Christ as a young person and say, Lord, I want to come to your mercy seat and have you direct my life and just show all of your friends out there what it means to be a godly person? Young adult, wouldn't that be terrific when everything is going on around you in this old messed up world of ours to show Christ's mercy working in you that he's appeased for your sins? When you can accept him as Lord and Savior, and people would see that Jesus is the substance and not the shadow of religion. Let's come down to the third point. Not a very long sermon, because what we're going to do is, those of us that know the Lord, we will partake in a symbolic way of what the mercy seat was all about.
Amen.
Because you see, that is just in a symbolic sense his shed blood and broken body, which we realize is a part of God's mercy. The third point that we see, what do we see at mercy seat? We see Jesus as the high priest.
Amen.
We see Jesus as the high priest. Now let's go back. Let's go all the way back to Exodus 25. Let's go all the way back when God said to Moses, I want you to choose Aaron to be the high priest, and his offspring after him will be in consecutive orders high priest, and they will function in the tabernacle. They must come dressed in the right kind of hat, the right kind of robe. They must come and have the laver over here. They have to wash their hands in a certain way. They have to go through the motions of worship. They have to get a lamb. They have to kill the lamb, get the blood of the innocent lamb, sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat. And the next point is that Jesus Christ is my high priest.
Amen.
It's not the preacher.
Mm-mm.
It's not the bishop.
Mm-mm.
It's not the potentate.
Mm-mm.
It's not you. It is Christ.
Christ.
Now the Bible tells me in the book of Peter, it says that we are all priests and kings before our God. Mm-hmm. We're priests in a sense because we offer up sacrifices of praise and prayer to God. But Christ has become our high priest. I'm telling you, the sprinkling of that blood by Aaron, the high priest, cannot be compared to Christ's sacrifice. The mercy seat in the tabernacle prefigured the substitutionary death of my Christ. That's all that was. I'm going to say that again for you. The mercy seat in the tabernacle.